Okay, maybe just Chicken Little. Okay, I'm doing that one. How about the end is coming? We're all going to die. We're all going to starve. I don't know where I'm going to get more food. Or to me, I hope I don't run out of toilet paper, right? Yeah, things have been crazy lately. They really have. But it's in these times that actually, I think, really reveal what and who we truly are deep down inside. You know, it's easy to be good when things are good, but when things get hard, that's when we see what we're made of. We see what grounds us and what is our base and what is our foundation. Sometimes we don't like what we see in those times. Maybe we find out what we thought we had as a good foundation wasn't really. Instead of being grounded in life, it's during these crises that we find ourselves tossed around. Instead, our foundation we find is in the media. Our foundation is in politics. Our foundation is rooted in family and friends. Our foundation is rooted in the strength of ourselves. But the problem is all of those foundations will fail. Where should our foundation truly be? What should we be building our life upon? What should we be seeking to spend our daily lives upon so that when these tough times come, we're not broken down, we don't lose focus, we don't have to fall away because we actually have a firm foundation? What is that? I'm glad you asked. That's a great question. Because God's Word has some great instruction in that. Yeah, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to take a quick diversion off of our series in Luke. I just really felt I wanted to have a little diversion in the midst of this to talk about what's going on in our lives. So Matthew chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 24. Now, for those of you might know, you know this, what's going on here, we're at the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount is what's happening in Matthew chapter 7. One of the most famous sermons ever given. You have Jesus teaching on the Sea of Galilee. And he's gone up on top of a hillside so people can overlook him. And he can overlook and his voice can carry. And the whole point of the Sermon on the Mount is he's teaching people a new way to live in this new way of the kingdom of God that he is starting. Because remember, he's the Pharisees, and the big teaching among the Pharisees was do good, right? Do good, look good on the outside, do the rituals, do the practices. Don't worry about where your heart is, just look good on the outside. And Jesus, his main point of the whole Sermon on the Mount is, it doesn't matter what's on the outside, it matters where your heart is. And his teaching is just over and over hitting on that. And this verses we're going to cover today, in 24 on, these are the very last things he says in his sermons, in this sermon, how he wraps it all up. So let's read Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Everyone then, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does them and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, some of you might have grew up in the church. You probably have the kids' song going in your head right now. The wise man built his house upon the rock. You know, I thought about singing that today, but feel free to sing that at home. And this is the last warning, the last teaching that Jesus has. And he's teaching about construction, which, remember, Jesus was a carpenter. He built stuff. He knew things. And also remember, where are they at? We were on a mount right by the Sea of Galilee, which had sandy beaches. And so it was a very apt thing that during the summer there, it would be really hot. And the sand would be baked and dried out and be very firm. You could build upon it. The problem was when the winter rains came, the sand, of course, would wash away. We've all been to the beach. We've all played with sand and know how sand acts. And so here, I mean, the wise builders in that area would sometimes build, they would dig down up to 10 feet through the sand till they hit rock. And that's where they would build. So that way the houses could withstand the floods that came in the winter. So the audience hearing this would be like, oh yeah, that makes total sense, Jesus. Jesus loves using things around him to do his teaching and to make his points, and that's what he does here. That when the rains came down, if you have the rock as your foundation, which is, of course, Jesus, that's going to anchor you down. I mean, this is a pretty straightforward teaching, right? Foundations built upon rock, good. Foundations built upon sand, bad. And the question mainly is, how do I know if I'm building my life upon the rock, who is Jesus, or if I'm building my life, my foundation upon the sand, which is anything that's not Jesus? How do we know? Well, go back up to verse 24. What does Jesus say? Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man built upon his house on the rock. You want to have that firm foundation? You got to hear the word of Jesus and you got to do them. Now, what words is he talking about? Well, overall, his Sermon on the Mount, what he just got done teaching about. But we can nail it down a little bit more in his closing illustrations that he uses in his sermon. Because before talking about the foundation, Jesus gives us three other illustrations. He talks about two gates, two kinds of prophets, and two kinds of disciples that culminates in talking about two different types of foundations. Notice there's only two options. In each of these, a choice must be made. Are you with Jesus or not? There is no middle ground, no other choice. A decision must be made, and one with eternal consequences. So we're going to back up in Matthew 7, and we're going to look at these examples. So let's go back up in your Bible to verse 13. Matthew 7, starting with verse 13. And Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." So Jesus, what he's talking about here is pretty straightforward. There's a wide gate, and if you enter it, that's a road heading for destruction. That he's talking about eternal judgment there. This road is the inviting road. It's wide. It's broad. I mean, it evokes a scene of like ease and comfort. You know, it's like walking down the highway instead of going on a hiking trail or bushwhacking it. It's easy. It's comfortable. But this road leads to destruction, eternal punishment. This is the path that culture has for us. It's the path that following the world has for us. It's easy. It feels good. It's the American dream. But on the other hand, those who enter the narrow gate will find themselves on a narrow road that leads to life. Now, this is much more restrictive. It's for to Jesus and the people following Jesus. And it's talking about being a small road and a narrow road. And then that means it's difficult, right? It's not broad and easy. It's small and narrow to go through. But where does this road lead to? Life. So choosing to follow Jesus isn't an easy thing by any means. But if you choose Jesus' way, it will lead to eternal life. Now, there is a major theological question here. What comes first, the road or the gate? Some people hold you travel the road, which leads to the gate. So they interpret as Jesus has challenged his listeners to follow what he has been teaching in the Sermon on the Mount so that they may enter the kingdom, the gate to the kingdom at the end of their life. But if we interpret the passage that way, what we're really saying is we earn our way to heaven. We earn our way to eternal life. We work hard and we do the right thing, and we get to go to heaven. And that is a very prevalent belief in America today. If I'm a good person, I'll get to heaven. Sorry, that's dead wrong. Ephesians 2 tells us, "For it is by grace that we are saved through faith, not from ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." We aren't saved through works. It's the grace of God. It's him showing mercy on us, and it's a free gift. We cannot earn our way to heaven. It's impossible. I may be thinking, well, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I've donated supplies during this coronavirus. I've helped my elderly neighbors. I do good things. That makes me a good person. Well, Romans 3 tells us, no one is righteous. No, not one. Righteous means just being right before God. Are you in a right relationship with God? And no one is in and of ourselves. We cannot be. Being a good person won't get you down the narrow road. That's exactly what Jesus has been teaching against. Now, concerning the road and the gate, if you understand it as the gate comes first and then the road, that's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus himself is that gate. He's the narrow gate through which people can pass if they respond to his invitation. And so that road then, the narrow road, is then the process of growing closer to Jesus throughout your life until you get to eternal life. But you have to go through Jesus. Jesus will say, no one comes to the Father except through him. No one gets to God except through Jesus. Now, how do we get? How does this work? Well, thank you. Romans 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's a simple acknowledgement and prayer of, Lord, yeah, I have screwed up before you. Lord, I have. I've lied. I've stolen. I've cheated. I'm not good according to your standard. But Lord, I see what Jesus has done. And say, Lord, I want to go through that gate that Jesus has offered for me. I want that road that heads to eternal life, not the road that leads to eternal punishment, but eternal life, Lord. I want that. It's a simple prayer. And I say to the people watching, you know, if you have questions about that, you know, if you're on Facebook, shoot the church a message and I'll get back to you. If you're on YouTube, go to our church's Facebook page and our website and you can get our address and call me, whatever. If you have questions about that, let me know. Because we got to choose which gate do we want to go through. The wide gate that feels good in this life, but will ultimately end in eternal punishment? Or the narrow gate, Jesus, who promises eternal life. Now the next illustration, Jesus is talking about trees and fruit here. Verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this section, but Jesus is warning us against people who lead people astray from God, and they're falsely speaking for God. They seem to be genuine people. They call themselves Christians, but really they have evil intentions. We must be wisely discerning them, because it says, by their fruit you will recognize them. We have to be aware of that. And my little thing I'll say about that is the internet is a great thing. It's what's enabling us to stream our services. On the other hand, it's also a very good avenue for people with whatever message they want can get it out there for a lot of people to see. Unfortunately, there's a lot of bad stuff out there that we have to guard ourselves against. Must make sure it is good teaching. I'm not going to hit this point too much. Of course, we're going to come to this passage again when we get to it in Luke, and I'll dive into a little more. But make sure what you're listening to, what you're allowing to teach you is true. See what their fruits are. Because this next illustration to Jesus is going to hit a little bit closer to home. Picking it back up in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name or cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? Then I would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. He's talking about a person who has verbally said, yes, Christ Jesus is my Lord. But really, in his heart, Jesus knows that person hasn't repented. You see, we can say certain words, we can make ourselves look good, that really hide what's going on in our heart. So Jesus adds that you must do the will of my Father. He's not saying you can earn your way. It's saying if you have truly a heart that wants to follow me, obedience will just flow from that. But it's about the heart. These people are even able to do certain things in his name, or Jesus will use bad things for good, but still their heart was never given to Jesus. Their heart truly wasn't to God. They've done good their whole life, but their hearts were never truly turned over to Christ. So we can talk the talk. We can even walk the walk to a point, but still not truly follow God. And I think many Americans, we fall into this trap. We say we believe in God, and we maybe even say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. And we live good lives, even doing good things in God's name. On the outside, we look great. We say we're a Christian. We have a good life. But really, deep down inside, in the secret place of our hearts, we've never truly surrendered our lives to Jesus. And that makes us dead inside. We say all the right words. We go to church at Christmas and Easter. We do good to others. But that's not what Jesus is after. He's not after your good works. Jesus is after the only thing that truly matters. Where does your heart lie? Do you trust the world? Do you trust yourself? Or are you truly trusting in Jesus? I really can't think of a more terrible life than someone who puts forward a good face their whole life, who does good things their whole life, thinks they're a great person, but just truly never loved Jesus. And therefore, when they pass on, when they die, they face judgment, not heaven. And I urge you, please don't be that person. Trust in Jesus. Now, we're back to the foundation. How How do we have a life built upon the foundation of Jesus so that our lives don't come crashing down? Follow his teachings. Not just say, I'm a good person, I'm a Christian, but then never go to church, never really read the Bible, but you follow what Jesus teaches. And what has he taught here? There are only two ways in life, Jesus' way or the wrong way. There's no middle ground in there. The great philosopher, Mr. Miyagi, you know, from the Karate Kid, wax on, wax off. Mr. Miyagi, he's a great philosopher in my mind. He once said, talking to Daniel, he says, walk on road, walk left side, safe. Walk right side, safe. Walk middle, sooner or later you get squish, like grape. Here, karate, same thing. Either you karate do yes or karate do no. You karate do guess so, squish, like grape. Wise words from Mr. Miyagi. Now, to modify it to fit what we're talking about, walk through the wide gate, the easy gate, the gate of the world, the gate that culture wants you to go down, squish, like grape. Walk into the narrow gate, the gate that Christ has for you, the gate that leads to eternal life, you're safe. Try to walk in the middle, sooner or later you're going to get like grape. There is no fence riding when it comes to heaven and hell. The great Johnny Cash once said, how well I have learned that there is no fence to sit on between heaven and hell. There is a deep, wide gulf, a chasm. And in that chasm is no place for any man. Folks, in the craziness in the world that is around us, our lives that are buffeted by storms, buffeted by winds, how are you holding up? Maybe your life has already come crashing down around you. Things just suck right now. Well, guess what? There's hope. There's hope and there's assurance that God loves you, that he sent his son to die for you. You want to rebuild your life on a rock that will never fail you, that will never be broken by the storms they go through in life? Then follow Jesus. Trust in him fully. Maybe we have been, you know, holding steady in our lives, but we're starting to notice cracks in our foundation. Because maybe our focus, maybe our trust, our allegiances are changing ever so slightly during this crisis. Now is the time to get back to what our foundation should be, Jesus. In a second, we're going to sing our closing song, I Surrender All. For those of you who have maybe never put your full trust in Jesus, have never built the foundation of your life on Jesus, this song can be your prayer. For those who are realizing that you have cracks in your foundation and we need to get back to the true foundation of Jesus, you know, this is a song that you can pray through to confess your sins and get back on that narrow path. This is a great song, I Surrender All. And I'll note our chorus is I Surrender All, not I Surrender Some. I Surrender Part. Oh, I Surrender This Part of My Life. No, All. Jesus wants all of your life. Put the entirety of your life on the good foundation that is in Jesus. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your holy word. How magnificent it is. And Father, I pray these people maybe have never put their faith in you. Oh, Father, I pray that they would now. Oh, Lord, they would reach out and tell someone. They reach out to us and say, Lord, I have questions. What do I need to do? That they would call the church, message the church, talk to a friend, Lord, that they would reach out. Oh, Father, we pray for that. And Lord, those of us who do acknowledge you as our Savior. Lord, maybe there's an area of our life that the foundation is eroding. because we're wanting to switch out foundations. Father, I pray that your Spirit would convict us of what area that is, to renew that foundation. To say, Lord, I know I've been struggling in this area. Lord, I put my full trust in you. Well, Lord, I hear everything on in the news about this virus, and I'm full of worry about the future. My trust of the future has been placed in the media now instead of you. Father, we place our trust in you and you alone. Oh, Father, be with us. Convict us. Urge us to respond to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.